Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Growthpoint Properties Australia Half Year Results Announcement 2019. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Timothy Collier, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to start by welcoming everyone on the call and on the webcast to Growthpoint Properties Australia's results presentation for the first half of the financial year 2019. With me today are members of Growthpoint's executive management team, Dion Andrews, our CFO, Michael Green, CIO, and Yin Hong, General Counsel and Company Secretary. The format for today's presentation is that I'll start with an overview of the results, detailing some of the key highlights over the half. I'll then pass to Dion to go through some areas of interest with respect to financial management. Following that, I will close with some comments about the group's property portfolio strategy and outlook. Turning to slide 4. It was a busy half year with in excess of $500 million worth of acquisitions, developments and expansions announced, spanning both office and industrial property. Whilst risks are emerging across some sectors of the Australian property market, we believe the outlook for office and industrial property leased to high quality tenants is positive. Attractive yield spreads to funding costs, low vacancy rates and improving market rents, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, drove significant transactional activity in 2018, with over $41 billion of commercial property changing hands. Australian office markets continue to attract significant volumes of capital, whilst industrial remains the favoured sector globally, benefiting from growth in online spending. Growthpoint produced a solid financial performance over the half year, delivering FFO of 12.5 cents per security and a distribution of 11.4 cents per security, which is 3.6% higher than the prior corresponding period. The half year marks the 14th consecutive period Growthpoint has grown its distribution payment to security holders, with earnings growth outpacing distribution growth over the same period. Acquisitions over the half drove the group's weighting towards office to 69%. We still consider industrial a key sector for investment, with drivers of demand for logistics remaining largely positive, with solid export levels, strong population growth, and continued growth in e-commerce retailing. Constrained land supply and improvements in key infrastructure are contributors to rising industrial values. NTA growth was a standout over the half year, increasing by 5.3%, and gearing remains at the bottom of the group's target range of 35 to 45%. Dion will provide more details on these two items in a moment. Turning to slide 5, and we completed two significant direct property transactions over the half year. The first was the acquisition of 836 Wellington Street West Perth in Western Australia for $91.3 million. This is Growthpoint's first office acquisition in Perth, and came after several years of due diligence and research into the Perth office market, which we believe is in a recovery phase. We also completed the acquisition of 100 Skyring Terrace in Newstead, Brisbane, for $250 million. The property was constructed in 2014 and is fully leased with two ASX-listed major tenants, a 7.5-year weighted average lease expiry, and attractive rental escalations. The building has high green credentials with a 5.5-star NABERS energy rating. The acquisition was accretive to financial year 19 earnings and allowed us to upgrade our FFO guidance to at least 24.8 cents per security for the full year. The acquisition was partly funded by a $135 million rights offer, which achieved oversubscriptions for both the retail and institutional components of the raising. At yesterday's close, the newly issued securities have achieved a 20.3% return since late last year. These acquisitions consolidated Growthpoint's position as the largest metropolitan office owner in the ORAT sector. Slide six highlights recent development and expansion opportunities progressed by Growthpoint. In July 2018, we broke ground on the development of a new 19,300 square metre office building at the Botanica Corporate Office Park in Richmond, Victoria. The development is tracking ahead of schedule with completion expected in the first half of 2020, and we are receiving strong engagement from a number of prospective tenants against a backdrop of historic low vacancy rates in Melbourne CBD and City Fringe. In January 2019, we welcomed the opportunity to partner with Woolworths, Growthpoint's largest tenant, in the expansion of one of their key distribution centres at Jebb's Cross, South Australia. Growthpoint is funding the $57 million development and will receive a coupon for the project costs as they're incurred, at a yield of 6.75% per annum. Upon practical completion in mid-2020, the lease over the entire property will reset to 15 years. As part of the transaction, Growthpoint has agreed to a shorter lease term at 120 North Court Boulevard, Broadmeadows in Victoria. The reduction in lease term is expected to amount to 10 months at the most, but it could be as little as 4 months, depending on the exact timing of Woolworth's departure. The new leasing arrangements at Broadmeadows provide an opportunity to explore development options at the 25-hectare site, which currently has a low site coverage of less than 25%. We are also actively canvassing the market for large occupiers who can lease the existing facility with significant land for future expansion. Our relationship with Woolworths across multiple sites was a factor in achieving what is an excellent result for both parties, and we look forward to working with Woolworths on the Jebb's Cross expansion and supporting their plans for future growth. I'll now hand over to Dion to discuss the financials.
Great, thanks Tim. Turning to the financials on slide 8, and it's been another solid result for the group in the first half, driven by income growth from new property acquisitions, higher occupancy, and a lower all-in cost of debt. This has enabled us to pay a distribution of 11.4 cents per security, up 3.6% from the prior corresponding period. This is in line with the group's target of 3 to 4% distribution growth over the medium term. Amortisation of incentives was higher as a result of incentives paid on leasing completed in FY18. The half year 19 amortisation amount is expected to be broadly the same in the second half of the year, and we expect it will stabilise in FY20 at levels largely consistent with FY19. Net finance costs were reduced through the refinancing of debt facilities at lower costs. Tight control of overheads also saw a reduction in the management expense ratio, down to 38 basis points in calendar year 18 and 40 basis points in calendar year 17. FFO increased 5% on the prior corresponding period as a result of new acquisitions, while FFO per security was flat as a result of higher shares on issue following the rights offer in December 2018. The payout ratio of 95.8% was elevated in the first half as a result of new shares issued under the rights offer being entitled to the full half-year 19 distribution. Assuming only a pro rata entitlement to the first half distribution for these securities would have resulted in a payout ratio of 91.6%. On slide 9, we detail some of the key items influencing gearing over the half year. Gearing closed the period at 35%, remaining at the bottom of the group's target range, with property acquisitions over the half year partially funded by equity raised via the distribution reinvestment plan and rights offer. Positive revaluations over the half resulted in a 0.9% reduction in the overall gearing level. Our all-in cost of debt fell 4.1% from 4.4% at 30 June 2018, as we utilised undrawn debt and funded part of the acquisition of 100 Skyring Terrace via a low-cost bridge facility. Assuming current market conditions persist, management and the board expect to maintain gearing towards the lower end of the group's target gearing range in the period ahead. Turning now to slide 10. It was another strong half of net tangible asset growth. NTA per security rose to $3.36, an increase of 5.3% over the half to 31 December 2018. This follows an increase over financial year 18 of 10.8%. The key driver of the increase this period was again property revaluations, which benefited from 21 basis points of cap rate compression, improved market rents, particularly in metropolitan Sydney and Melbourne, and strong leasing outcomes for the group with higher occupancy and good tenant retention during the half. Another key contributor to the uplift was the rights offer, which was completed at an 8.5% premium to the 30 June 2018 NTA. Turning to slide 11, we see the group's debt capital is in a sound position. Growthpoint retains good access to debt through both local banking relationships and offshore debt capital markets. We recently extended $515 million of debt to domestic institutions, with savings made on margins and all major domestic banks submitting proposals. A bridge facility was put in place to help fund the 100 Skyring Terrace acquisition in December 2018, and this is expected to be replaced by an additional debt capital market issuance prior to 30 June 2019. Our earliest debt expiry is February 2020, and the group continues to look at all available debt markets for the best possible funding structure. At 31 December 2018, we had undrawn debt lines of $244 million, which will be partly utilised to fund the ongoing construction of the new Botanica 3 office building and expansion of the Woolworths Distribution Centre, where construction commenced today. Growthpoint also has good demand for its equity, with the December rights offer of $135 million oversubscribed on both the retail and institutional components. The historical take-up of the distribution reinvestment plan has been 76%. If this were to continue, the group's forecast FY19 distribution would represent $127 million of new equity if we chose to utilise the DRP this year. This source of funding helps Growthpoint manage its gearing, with $417 million raised in DRP since June 2012. To summarise, during the half, FFO guidance was upgraded to at least 24.8 cents per security. Accretive acquisitions during the half, combined with a reduction to the all-in cost of debt, has positioned us well for future growth. Our access to equity is sound, as evidenced by the strong security holder support following the recent rights offer, and the balance sheet is in good shape with substantial headroom and debt covenants and gearing at the bottom of our target range. Thank you, and I'll now pass back to Tim.
Thank you, Dion. To slide 14, and we continue to benefit from a portfolio which has been deliberately weighted towards the favoured property sectors of office and industrial, and believe this trend of our performance will continue. Transactional evidence suggests we'll continue to see investor appetite for well-located office assets Australia's eastern seaboard. And from a leasing perspective, appetite for office space is strong, with Melbourne and Sydney office vacancy rates at historic lows, whilst industrial remains the favoured global property sector. It is pleasing to report that portfolio occupancy has returned to 99%. Occupancy in the portfolio has been above 97% since Growthpoint's inception nearly 10 years ago. 80% of Growthpoint's income is derived from listed and government tenants, and the weighted average rent review of 3.3% per annum continues to underpin Growthpoint's 3-4% distribution growth target. Moving to slide 15. On slide 15, we provide a further detail around our key tenants, which has been bolstered by further federal government tenancy and the addition of Bank of Queensland during the half year. The focus in 2019 will be on renewing major financial year 20 expiries, with work well progressed at a number of key properties. Like-for-like, net property income was 3.1% higher on an FFO basis and 1.8% higher after including amortisation of leasing incentives. Like-for-like growth of 2.6% in the industrial portfolio was consistent with the industrial portfolio weighted average rent review of 2.8, while the office portfolio was impacted by reversions of two properties. To slide 16. Our business model has been consistent since 2009. We seek to own quality commercial property in proximity to major transport and infrastructure, building the portfolio through direct acquisition, M&A, and developing to enhance our existing assets. This strategy of owning well-leased, well-located commercial property is one that has served investors well and has delivered our performance in total return to security holders over short and long-term time periods. Over the remaining months of financial year 19, we will continue working on upcoming lease expiries, with good progress already made on renewing existing tenants and marketing to new tenants at our Richmond development. Our balance sheet is well positioned, with gearing at the bottom of our target range. In the near term, we will look to replace the bridge debt facility with additional debt capital markets issuance, further diversifying and extending our debt profile should market conditions be conducive. We are progressing several solar projects and are in the process of reviewing other sustainable energy solutions, which will lower energy costs for our tenants and build on our strong 4.6 star average NABERS rating and make our buildings more attractive for the highest quality tenants. Our view on retail property is unchanged. While we have a mandate to invest in retail property, we've made a deliberate decision to avoid the sector at this time due to growing structural headwinds facing retailers. Finally, to the last slide. It was another strong half for Growthpoint, putting us firmly on track to deliver it. Our upgraded FFO guidance of at least 24.8 cents per security and distributions of 23 cents per security. While the economy has slowed and the outlook is less certain than it was 6 months ago, we believe we are well positioned to capitalise on opportunities in the portfolio and in our favoured office and industrial sectors, delivering on near-term leasing requirements and continuing growing distributions to security holders. Thank you. We will now hand over to your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Darren Leung from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good morning, team. Just a few quick ones from me. First one on Richmond. Have you had any sort of solid leads in terms of leasing here?
Yeah, Darren, it's Michael Green here. The development's been really well received at the moment. The tenant community and the tenant representative community are really favouring it through a number of proposals that they're asking us for. I think definitely delivering certainty of producing the building as opposed to just having a planning approved development's been a good strategy for us, and since going under construction has been great. Pace of progressing development well, and overall the design and the price point are attractive. So whilst we don't have any tenants to announce right now, we are in discussions with a number of them.
Okay. When should we expect, a level of pre-commitment at this building? Is there like a time frame that you're working to, or?
I'd like to say as soon as possible, but I don't have any explicit dates to give.
Okay, no problem. Second one was just around retail. Tim, so you mentioned structural headwinds facing retailers, et cetera, et cetera. Given what's happening to retail valuations more broadly, yeah. I mean, at what point does retail start to look attractive and meet your return hurdles?
Not for a while, I would have thought. I think if we look back quite a while ago, the hierarchy of cap rates was retail was the lowest. It was a consistent performer over a long term. If you look at the PCA returns, it was retail, office, industrial. Retail, lowest yield, office in the middle, industrial the highest.
Yep.
Post the GFC and the advent of internet sales, that has flipped around the other way. And I believe the hierarchy of cap rates is changing, and there's not a big enough differential between industrial, office and retail yields as yet. So there's a differential point of view, but also for the growth in the rent from retail assets, the cap rates aren't high enough. So to answer your question, we'll monitor it and review it. But at this point in time, broadly speaking, we don't see value there, long-term value there, not just value from 6 or 12 months going forward, long-term value. So we're not quite.
What yield differential would you look for? Perhaps, retail versus office, as an example.
That's hard to say.
Okay. And then just the final one, so sticking to sort of return hurdles and sort of entry and exit points, just perhaps with respect to your return on ADI, so obviously performed really well compared to most sort of, of your direct property investments. I mean, at what point do you start to crystallise or realise this return for your unit holders?
I think you asked this. Did you ask a similar question 6 months ago? has achieved reasonably good returns, but I would say that those who are investing in the office and industrial markets also have turned well. So that's an $80 million investment. We haven't determined anything about the disposal or the acquisition or whatever. We're just reviewing the results over the next week or so. We haven't had the opportunity to do that, and we sort of don't have anything to announce specifically on IDR. It's producing a good yield for security holders, and when it's appropriate to make a decision about it, we'll do so.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I'm pretty sure I asked a similar question 6 months ago, but, you know, 6 months ago, the share price was $2.60. And so, you know, there's been a strong mark-to-market since then. I would have thought, you know, crystallization would have been around here.
Okay, well, as I said, we just review our results and discuss the investment, you know, at a later stage with the board, but no strategy being defined for IDR.
Understand. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ben Brayshaw from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tim. Firstly, just a comment rather than a question. Congratulations on the repositioning of the Jepps Cross building in Adelaide.
It's a good deal, and you know, the long-term income of that particular asset has been shored up for another 15 years from the middle of 2020, so it's a great deal for our security holders.
Just on Jepps Cross, Tim, could I just get your thoughts on how the new rent is going to be determined for the lease when the lease commences? Will it be based on the coupon of the 6.75% on the value of the work, or is there another way of determining the rent?
There is. Yeah. So we have the existing rent of the existing facility, and that continues on. I think there was one 2.5% rent review for Ron. So we continue the existing rent. We forego one rent review on the existing rent, and then we add $57 million by 6.75% to get the rent for the expansion, and we add those together. And then at practical completion, that's new rent, and then it escalates to 2.5% per annum for 15 years, which is the same escalator in all our Woolworths leases.
Yes, and the blended rent is just slightly over $100 per square metre from recollection. That market level.
Yep, okay, thank you. And the variation in the lease at Broadmeadows, you mentioned 4 to 10 months, could see the lease expiration date terminated or cancelled prior to the current expiry. Presumably that's related to the commissioning at Dandenong. Could you talk through your current expectations on when you're thinking that expiry date might be brought forward?
No, because we've just negotiated it and sort of settled it, and so we did negotiate that flexibility to some extent for Woolworths. So we have no visibility of what that might be at this time.
Mm-hmm. Is there a notice period that you will receive prior to the lease being cancelled?
Yeah, there is. I just can't recall it off the top of my head.
I think it's 6 months of memory, but we can turn that number up with
it. No problem. And just on the operating cash flow, it has come in a little bit below the funds from operations for this period. Could you just talk about the key drivers of the shortfall in operating cash flow versus funds from operations, please?
The payout ratio of the distribution to funds from operations, is that what you're referring to, sir?
No, Dion, it's the cash flow from operating activities of $54.5 million versus the funds from operations of $86.5 million.
Yeah.
Just what explains the difference, if you don't mind.
I mean, the operating net cash flow from the cash flow statement and the funds from operation of $86 million, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so the reconciling items are largely on slide 8 for you there. We have obviously the add back of amortization of incentives, but what is not on the cash flow is the incentive that where we're paying rent free. It's on the incentive amortization. You are simply not receiving that cash or rental abatements through the operating cash flow line. So that $54 million includes those incentives of cash that you're not receiving. Does that make sense?
It does. Do you happen to have the number offhand of how much rent-free incentives were in expense for the period?
Not to hand. There is a slide on how this works, slide 27 in the appendices of the presentation. So there's a reduction in cash generated by operating activities of $20.2 million as incentives were paid. So that's a reduction to your operating cash flow in the cash flow statement. And that's one of the main changes there. So that's the main reconciling item.
Okay. Thanks, Dion.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Stephen Lamb from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Tim and team. A few questions. On the sale of two small assets, assume that's already in your guidance, but what's the dollar amount and the expected timing of that, please?
So draw a circle around the book value for the dollar amount, and the sales are progressing reasonably well, but we've got no further things to update at this stage.
So that's Cambridge, Tasmania, and Bedford Park, those two assets.
Yeah.
We should have something to announce a period of time, but we can't do so at this point in time.
Okay. And I think you were saying that the bridge facility for the new set acquisition was quite cheap. So when you go to capital markets to replace that debt, are you expecting that to lift your cost of debt? Or is it going to be fairly immaterial?
The difference between the bridge and the USPP cost.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, the bridge is an 18-month tenor. It's quite a cheap facility for us. It was only meant to be short term. We have, after 31 December, entered a 5-year swap as part of the overall debt transaction we're intending to do in the debt capital markets. That swap was entered into for $150 million at a rate of 2.06%. So we'll now look to execute on the debt capital piece. Obviously, the rate will be higher all in, but it's not going to have a material impact on our all-in cost of debt. It will increase slightly from the 4.1%, but not in a material way.
Thank you. And what's the total CapEx guidance for the year in terms of the maintenance CapEx you have?
We just guide at that 0.3 to 0.5% of the average property value. We don't provide any other guidance apart from that.
Thank you. That's it for me. Thanks so much.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.